Change at all. Wind from the southwest at 13. 59 degrees Racine, 58 Kenosha, 56 for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. WGTD News time, 8:10. The morning show with Greg Berg is next. Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenoshans who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show. I'm Gregory Berg. Well, after much too long, I am so happy to welcome back to the morning show today my boss at Carthage College, President Gregory Woodward. Dr. Woodward has been at Carthage College for 3 years at the helm, so he is at the start of his fourth year as president of Carthage. It seems unbelievable that that much time has elapsed, but time flies when you're having fun, as they say, and at least for the most part, life is a lot of fun at Carthage College. Exciting. It is a vibrant place that is doing very well, flourishing at a time when many schools like it find themselves really steeply challenged. Carthage is flourishing with robust enrollment and a lot of exciting projects underway, some exciting growth. And we have Dr. Woodward here to talk about all that and more, as well as his hopes and dreams for the future of Carthage College. So, President Gregory Woodward, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thanks, Greg. It's great to be here. Nice to see you.
Good to have you here as well. I should say that your counterpart here at Gateway, Brian Albrecht, unfortunately is on the Burlington campus today. He travels almost as much as you do, but he sends his regards and is sorry that his schedule doesn't allow him to be here to say hello in person. But I know that Carthage and Gateway have a cordial relationship, and as a matter of fact, President Albrecht was part of Carthage's graduation ceremonies back in May because he received an award.
Right, we gave him our Newton Award as the sort of top citizen of the region for last year, and he deserves it. The man sits on 50 boards and has built Gateway into a powerhouse, community college. And I don't know if people know this, probably they don't, but Brian Albrecht and Deborah Ford and I meet about once every 3 months for breakfast. We have one coming up in a few weeks, and we talk about education in the area and what we hope to do. And we have a lot of partnerships. We all just went in together on a big grant on raising awareness about sexual harassment and received $400,000, actually, for the three campuses to work on education around that delicate topic. And we all work as well in trying to make a better K-12 system here in Kenosha and in Racine as well. And we're involved in a lot of projects, and it's fabulous to have these two great colleagues. And I think it's kind of neat that here in this little, somewhat little town, we have a very successful, large, 28,000 community college, two-year college, and then, a public branch of the Wisconsin system, and then a private college. So we got it all covered here.
Right.
Whatever you want in higher ed, step up, we have it.
Well, and not only do all three places sort of exist side by side, but work together in such a positive fashion. I mean, I suppose it helps that there are three different kinds of colleges that you don't seem to see each other as sort of fierce competitors, but there's this air of cooperation that's been around as long as I've been around, at least.
And absolutely. And I think, I think students can take courses at the three campuses. If we don't offer something, they can take it at another campus. The same with people from students from Parkside and Gateway. And we're working really hard on a real 2+2 with Gateway. So I hope that comes out in the next year or so. And a real 2+2 means that when you finish an associate's degree, that Carthage would then accept that credential as a full 2-year degree. And so when you come to Carthage, you would be a junior. And it wouldn't be one of these, you know, let's check every single course and every single transcript and line them all up. And if you haven't taken this course and that course, no, you have a 2 years associate's degree, and that gives you a standing as a junior. And then we'd work out from there what you need to take to finish a degree at our place. But that would open up, you know, good pathways for students from Gateway who want to continue on in some field, perhaps that they just discovered or want to go further. So another great partnership. And I will say that I know we'll get into this later, but Gateway was also really exceptionally helpful to us in building our nursing program. Because, you know, we did a lot of work in thinking about where we should go next as a college, and we looked at some of the needs in the area, and that's really what drove that project. And the nursing faculty, the chairs and deans of the nursing division here at Gateway came and spent a lot of time with us and talked to us and gave us great advice. And that's been a great partnership as well.
Cool. We are just a couple of weeks past homecoming at Carthage. And, of course, that is a big, exciting weekend. And if anything, it's more exciting than it ever was. I mean, it's something that's it appears to be given sort of new attention at Carthage. Some things have been developed to make it an even more exciting and vibrant weekend. What are your recollections of homecoming this time around?
Well, we had a good time. You know, it was a good weekend. We could have won the game, the big football game. I mean, people sort of center on that as one of the major moments of the weekend. But it was a good game, and we were in it to the end, and that's all that matters. It's Division III. You know, winning isn't everything. I think that we did a couple of things. Like you say, we put in some extra sessions. We had some extra kind of social events. We tried to keep things under a little more control than we have in the past. We put, a really nice tailgating area together for parents and families and alums. And, we supervised it a little bit more than we have sometimes. And okay. People weren't quite so perhaps thrilled with that. But I do know that our security and safety force on campus and the local police said, you know, that was about the coolest, gentlest homecoming we've ever experienced.
Ah.
So I think somehow the spirit was there throughout the weekend and throughout our guests that this was a celebration of Carthage. People came back truly to think about their time in college, what it meant to them, to see their mentors and their friends. And the atmosphere just seemed extremely gracious and warm and sort of one of congratulations or accomplishment, didn't it? Mm. You know, you saw people walking around going, look, I was here and I did this and now I'm here having this great life. And, you're just so proud of so many moments at homecoming when you meet people and see what they've made out of their college education. There was one special event there. It was the 50th anniversary of a particular class of obviously 1965, and that class was the first class to actually graduate from the new campus. So they had a tough road. They did 3 years in the old campus in Illinois and then came up here for just 1 year, and Carthage had started kind of two campuses at the same time at that point. And so there was here in Kenosha a freshman and a sophomore and a junior class, but no seniors. And all of a sudden this almost literally busload of seniors arrived on campus. And I think all the juniors were like, hey, we thought we were the top guns. No. So there was a class of seniors from the old campus, and they brought with them a lot of traditions, you know, beanies, and they brought up eventually Kissing Rock, and lots of great things happened that brought the old campus to the new. And that class celebrated their 50th anniversary this year. So we had a special dinner and a couple special events for them. And that was, you know, really, really terrific. We have two board members from that class, John Sladek and Lauren Semler, who have been great longtime board members, and they were kind of the leaders of this class as well. The other thing that happened, as you know, during the homecoming is we had two big events attached to it, and one of them was the official ribbon cutting of the new Science Center in our David A. Straz Jr. Center for the Natural and Social Sciences. And, man, that was an incredible, incredible morning. The place was packed. We had an event under the sort of under the planetarium in the lobby there. And everybody I can think of who had a part in that project was there. And so, you know, we had a couple of formal moments where we actually did cut a few ribbons. We had a couple of cuttings depending on who wanted to get up and wield the big scissors. But, you know, the architect came up and he got choked up talking about this project. And then the two Bills came up, Bill Apt and Bill Hoare, who helped make it possible. They got choked up. And then we had a man named Bill Miller come up, and he was the chief kind of contract, I don't know what the word is, foreman or whatever on the job. And his dad, his name is Dan Miller. His dad was Bill Miller.
Right.
Who taught at Carthage for a long time, I
guess. A real institution there, too.
Right, like a famous institution as a faculty member. And he got really choked up, and the whole place was just melting. And here we were in this gorgeous new space, absolute state-of-the-art science teaching center, which is amazing. If you haven't, you know, you've been there, but if people are listening, if you haven't been there, just come and walk around the science center. It's incredible. You'll get a kick out of the atom-shaped light fixtures and couches and carpet designs. But that was a terrific event. And then, I don't know if you saw it, Greg, or not, but the architect from Philadelphia had a friend who was a professional cake maker. And she made an actual, complete, true-to-scale, color version of the entire science building in cake. It was really quite impressive. I made the mistake at the end of the event of saying, well, let's cut the cake. And about 20 people from development jumped up and said, no, we're not going to cut that one. We have some other cake.
Yeah, there you go.
So we kept the cake for a picture.
Yeah, it needs to be a work of art there for as long as possible.
It was quite amazing. It was an amazing cake, but an amazing event. We spent $43 million on that edition, and we borrowed about 20, and we're on time to pay it off in a very short 4-year span. We had a gift, as you know, of about $10 million from Jan Tarbell, which was incredible to help us build the Science Center. And since that time, we've been working really hard on donations and working with other friends of Carthage to make that Science Center a reality. And that leads us to another big event of the weekend as well.
I wanted to ask you about the timing of the Straw Center and the necessity for it. And although I really understand that better after hosting a morning show just before homecoming with Bill Hoare and Elaine Walton and two science faculty in a really, I think, interesting roundtable discussion about the Straw Center. And it didn't take long to hear from Kevin Crosby and Deanna Burns about just the really terrible conditions under which they and their colleagues have worked for a long, long time in what was and remains the oldest building on campus. And I think that was one of the moments when it became crystal clear to me, that's why this had to happen, because of all things, you can't teach the sciences in an antiquated structure. You can maybe teach Shakespeare in a relatively old, bare bones building. Right. Shakespeare is Shakespeare, but the sciences require something more, and it was just an inescapable necessity, I should think.
I think so, and it wasn't. I don't know if it was terrible conditions, and they were struggling. They were doing a great job,
but in the sense of being crowded,
absolutely,
incredibly difficult crowded situations, and some outdated equipment and this and that. I mean,
right.
tough situation.
But you know what happened? Besides the building getting old, what really happened to me, and this is the most exciting part, is that the pedagogy changed, right? The way of working with students changed. And so there might have been enough space. It was tight. I have to say our natural sciences student population had been growing in leaps and bounds. And you think about the fact that it was growing in what I used to affectionately call the Ozzie and Harriet, science building, that old tile in the hallways. But the way of teaching changed. And so the labs now, the classrooms are all built in such a way that the desks all move. You can change their orientation. The teacher stands in the middle or at the front. They swivel around. There are sort of pockets of work. People can work in teams. There are monitors on all four walls so you can see what other people are working on. There is a lab kind of preparation hallway down the spine of the building that no one will ever see. So chemicals and things come in from, kind of behind that secret door. It's all unbelievably safe and state-of-the-art. The way of interacting with students in the sciences has changed dramatically. It's not really a lecture building. It's a building made for real work, real research, and real experimentation. And that leads me, if you don't mind me sort of using that as a metaphor a little bit, to think a little bit about Carthage in general as a preparation for a great life. we know that liberal education works. We know that the liberal arts are important and that it makes people have great lives because their brains are more interesting places. And it's great to know Shakespeare, and I'm a Shakespeare fanatic. I love poetry. I love music, as you know. I spent most of my life there. I love literature. I love the social sciences. I love learning. And those things will probably always have a central place at Carthage. But at the same time, we do have to recognize that when you leave a four-year degree and you've spent a lot of your hard-earned sweat and energy and money, that you need to have a path after that. And so we are going to spend the next couple of years at Carthage talking deeply and broadly about what that means. So how do we prepare students for not just having, you know, a fantastic, I'm going to say brain, you know, if that's okay, but also, you know, a set of marketable skills that they can use to build a professional life as well. And so we're looking all the time at more internships, more mentoring, more involvement with our alumni, different kinds of teaching, more real-life experiences, probably going to upgrade our career services into something much more broadly integrated into the curriculum, into students and student lives. I would love to see a time when, you know, 75% of our students have had an internship experience of some kind before they graduate. You know, those high-impact experiences like internships, like study abroad, like learning a second language, like doing a thesis, we know what they are and we know how they work. And frankly, at Carthage, we do them all. We do them all, in my opinion, a lot better than most places. So we are doing a great job at this, but I think we need to take that last step and really help students push now to what happens after graduation. You know, it's hard to predict what your job is going to be. The world is changing quickly. We know that soft skills like, you know, critical thinking, being able to work in a group and solve problems are great things. But there's also a body of real work experience, which we can give students while they're undergraduates, and they can have that translate into careers. So it's a, you know, it's kind of an exciting time.
For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking today on The Morning Show with Dr. Gregory Woodward, who is the president of Carthage, just beginning now his fourth year as Carthage president. He, of course, stepped into the formidable footprints of his predecessor, Dr. F. Gregory Campbell, who was president of Carthage for a full quarter of a century. I know we're going to spend most of our time talking about the future, but since it's been a little while since you've been on the program, let's just rewind to the past for a moment. I wonder, first of all, if you could just remind yourself and remind us of what you felt as you undertook this responsibility, one which you'd never really shouldered. I mean, you've never been the full-fledged president of a full-fledged college before, but you had, you've had some very important administrative positions. It's not that you're a newcomer to that, but you were really assuming the mantle of something that you hadn't ever done before. What did that feel like 4 years ago?
Well, you know, it's a good question, Greg. I suppose that the answer most people expect would be that I would say I was really nervous or scared. And I actually don't remember being nervous or scared. I remember being hyper alert and, you know, having a lot of adrenaline every day. But mainly, I think I was just excited. I was just really excited to get going, to try to do what I could to build an even stronger Carthage. The good news for me at that time was that, as there is now, there was a very strong team of vice presidents at the college. There's a fabulous faculty. There's an excellent staff. You know, to be, as you know, you've been there quite a while, nothing was broken about Carthage. It was a great place. So I suppose if I had a fear, it was that I was going to screw it up, you know, because it was going so well. But in these jobs, you kind of have to take a stance. You kind of have to put yourself out there a little bit and say, here's what are the best parts of what we want to retain, and here are some places where we need to get a little better. I think I've been able to do that pretty well. I also think that if you're – I know this sounds a little Pollyannish and maybe a little – over romantic, but if you're just yourself and if you believe in yourself, you'll make decisions along the way that just feel honest and right and sort of intuitively correct. And so as things came across my desk that first year, conversations with people throughout the campus, I've spent, 40-some-odd years in higher ed. I've been in a lot of different situations. I think I have a good sense of what makes a place tick and how to make it work and where the future of Carthage could be and should be. And somehow you trust those instincts to make decisions as they come. You know, there's part of it's a big planning, and you have a sense of, like, where the ship is headed. But moment by moment, you just have to make a choice about a lot of things. Mm. And it's funny, you know, I get home at night sometimes, and my wife and I will be, Penny will be thinking about what to eat or what to do, and literally I'll just be stumped because I'm decisioned out.
You've made too many decisions all
exactly.
day.
Exactly. I just can't do it. I'm like, you know, I don't really, you know, make a choice because I just can't do it.
Black beans or white beans, it's
yeah,
up
really,
to you.
I don't know.
I wonder, too, how the reality of being president of Carthage squares with what your expectations were about what your responsibilities would be or how you would be devoting your time and what kind of decisions would be made. I mean, has much of this been a surprise to you? Or, in fact, does the responsibility of Carthage, being Carthage's president, pretty much square with what you thought it would be?
Yeah, you know, it's been a pleasant surprise in that I thought I would be working most closely with the cabinet, you know, like the six or seven vice presidents who manage the different divisions of the college, the provost, the academic side, the vice president for student life, enrollment, advancement, that's the CFO. And like I say, Carthage was you know, really fortunate to have a great team, and I'm fortunate to have a great team now. As well, some of those people have moved on to new positions, and some have retired. But we're in a great place. Here's the surprise that was pleasant for me, and that is, it hasn't been an experience where my main contact was actually with the vice presidents. I feel like I'm part of some just really big family, and so I've had an opportunity to touch people at all levels of the organization. I meet with people from every possible division all the time. As you walk around campus, you know everybody. You know, you say hello, how are you doing? And that's so much more the way I would have liked it if I had imagined it. But I didn't think that was going to be the case. I thought, well, you know, you're going to wear a 27-piece suit every day and you know, have stern and intense meetings. And in fact, I get to walk around and talk and work and meet with a lot of people. I hope I'm not meddling, you know, but I love having my at least my antenna sort of up around all the little parts of Carthage that are going on, and every once in a while something will hit me and I'll say, you know, I heard a student go by the other day with a group of doing a tour with a group of families, and I thought maybe they should have mentioned this or they should have walked this direction instead of that direction, and so, you know, I'll make an announcement, you know, or a little comment to somebody, and again, I don't think it's meddling. I think it's just walking around having your eyes open to make everything as good as it can possibly be. And that's been a great surprise. In the end, you know, any place is about its people. We have great buildings and a great, great campus and a great view and a great lake. But the, you know, the 450-some-odd people that work at Carthage every day, that's what makes this a joy. To see their dedication, their levels of unbelievably hard work, how much they care about providing a great education to our students. It's really, like I say, it's inspiring every day. Mm. And then you know this as well as anybody on the planet. We have 2,600 of the most fantastic young people you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are just great people. I'm still, you can hear it in my voice, I'm still amazed by it. I mean, they're polite, they're respectful, they're hardworking, they care about each other and about the world. They're engaged in community service in ways that I think are amazing. Boy, I don't know, if you drew up an exciting and inspirational life to be part of, I'm not sure how you'd make a better one than this.
Right. So Carthage, of course, is flourishing, and flourishing at a time when a lot of comparable schools are struggling. So first of all, without burying us in a whole lot of numbers, give us a sense of just to what extent Carthage really is a success story at the moment.
Yeah, look, this is kind of crazy, and it's even hard to explain. But we are at this moment enjoying the largest freshman class in history. We are enjoying the largest entering class in history. That means freshmen and transfers. We have the largest enrollment in college history. We just built a $43 million science building. We have next on our plate, as you know, and I'm sure are glad to hear, will be improvements to our facilities around the fine arts. Can't wait to get started on all of that. We not only balanced our budget, we balanced our budget in such a way that we were able to budget in the payments for the science building. Our tuition has been the lowest it's been in 20 years, the last 2 years, tuition increases, and I'm proud of that as well. 60%, this is an amazing number, 60% of private independent colleges like Carthage across the United States this fall missed their enrollment targets. So we are part of 40% who actually, you know, enrolled the number of students that we hoped. In fact, we enrolled way more than we hoped. We had a goal of about 710 freshmen. We enrolled 752. And it costs some money. Everyone knows that the sticker price they see for Carthage isn't the real price. We give away so much financial aid that we try to make our college affordable for everybody. If I gave you numbers on that, you'd probably be stunned. 33% of our students are Pell eligible. 33% are Pell eligible. 50% of our students have an estimated family contribution based on the FAFSA of an annual contribution to the college of $10,000 or less. And we make up the difference for all of these great students, including the fact that we give away in any one given moment in time about 80 free rides to students from all different kinds of walks of life. And so we are getting students in. We are making it affordable. I was with Senator Tammy Baldwin the other day and Deborah Ford and people from Gateway and people from Whitewater. We had a little conference over at Parkside talking about student debt crisis and affordability. And I was kind of amazed to hear that the average debt upon leaving college from Carthage is about the same as leaving from the public schools, from a public school. And so, you know, we're doing a great job. I would say that out of the 60% of colleges that didn't make their enrollment numbers, I would bet that a third to a half of those are actually spending savings to make a go of it, spending down their endowment to actually pay the bills in an annual way. That is a scary scenario and does not bode well for private independent colleges in America. I think that we're going to have to all figure out what our niche is and what our roles are, and perhaps in some ways have to decide and think about the fact that probably places like Carthage can't be all things to all people. We're all going to decide what we're really great at and going to have some more defined programs to probably make it a financially viable situation for this many colleges. But some colleges are going to disappear, and that's a little frightening.
So it puts into proper perspective the current state of affairs at Carthage. I mean, one can't take it for granted, this success that's being enjoyed right now.
No, it's true. It's you can't take it for granted. Every year it's an admissions and enrollment and budgetary question. At the same time, we're trying to grow our endowment so that at some point in the future, we'll be able to use that endowment to support even more financial aid and scholarships for our students.
I've had a couple of very interesting conversations with President Albrecht on this question of enrollment, and is our escalating enrollments always a good thing because of that matter, that delicate formula of paying out a certain amount of money for just about every student who walks through the door. So does that become... what kind of calculations take place? I don't think they're calculations you have to do or I have to do, fortunately, but
we do.
there's people who devote their lives and careers to sort of sorting out those kind of questions, I suppose.
Yeah, it's tricky, you know, that the fact is, without giving away, you know, too much information that people don't really want to hear about, the fact is that our financial aid and scholarship rates have gone up dramatically in the last couple of years. And so we are spending a lot more of our annual operating, you know, budget and money on students than we have in the past. One, to make it affordable to students from all kinds of backgrounds. Two, to simply be able to be competitive in the marketplace. And so what that means is that the average amount of if you don't mind me calling it this, revenue that we get from each student is actually, if not staying constant, going down. And so I suppose if you think of a situation like a Walmart, you know, if you're gonna charge less for a light bulb, then you have to sell a lot more light bulbs. And so a lot of colleges in the country are thinking, well, if I'm only making a buck per student, I better have X number of students, you know, more than I had before. And so, you know, we are in somewhat of that position, except that the good news is that we've been able to make our budgets work and be able to give this great financial aid. You know, we are a nonprofit institution, and people look at a place like Carthage and think, wow, it's so expensive. They must be rolling in money. We are completely dependent on the dollars that our students bring us. You know, literally 92-93% dependent on tuition and room and board revenue. And so we don't make any money at all. Every single budget is a dicey equation every year to make sure that it comes out okay. But having said that, there is going to be a place, there is going to be a line in the sand that I'm going to draw if it comes to this in my time here, and that is I don't want Carthage to be more than 3,000 students. We're almost at 2,700. I think after that, it's a different place. We pride ourselves on small classes, faculty-student relationships that are keen and deep, faculty and staff acting as real mentors to our students, hands-on experiences, leadership opportunities on the playing field, in the laboratories, and internships, and travel abroad. Bigger than that, we start to lose who we are and what our quality of education is. And so we're going to have to find out what that magic formula is to say at some point we're going to stop trying to add students and say, this is it. This is who we are. At that moment in time, as I alluded to earlier, maybe that's when you have to take a hard look at everything we offer and say, we can't do all that. It's just not going to be possible. And so what are the real strengths and the real qualities of Carthage that make it such a great place, and hang on to those, you know, with both hands tightly? I think we can do it. I will also say that with the financial aid we're giving away and the scholarships and the incredible student experiences that we're providing, that at some point we will get closer and closer, maybe even we'll nail it, you know, a kind of admissions practice that brings us students who are so perfectly well suited for Carthage that they will stay for 4 years, they will have a fabulous experience, and they will graduate on time. We have a great retention rate, we have a great graduation rate compared to national norms, but we could do a little better. And so at some point you realize if a student comes and they don't stay, you know, that's kind of a loss. We feel like we've somehow failed them. So ethically we're bound to make them successful. And there will come a place in time in our budgeting when students being successful at Carthage will also help, if you will, balance the books. Does that make sense?
Right. I know that one of the really intriguing changes that was made recently was the development of this nursing program. And I think I've followed those events with special interest because I remember at my alma mater, Luther College, the addition of a nursing program right before I started there actually stirred up a lot of consternation from some of the old timers. That's kind of an uncharitable way for me to put it, but I mean, purists.
Old timers.
Right? Oh, but you bet. But, you know, some who've really felt like it was maybe a violation of the most sacred tenets of what a liberal arts education is. And there were others who said, no, this is just something we simply must do. And ultimately, those were the voices that won. And I think now there are very few regrets about nursing being rolled into everything else that Luther offers, and they offer nursing to this day. But I don't remember quite so much hand-wringing in this instance. Maybe it occurred in rooms where you were, but I just wonder if you could just talk a moment about the gestation of this idea. And were there any concerns that Carthage was not the place for something like that?
Yeah, I think you really, really hit it right on the head there, Greg. We hired a firm to do a sort of regional search of other colleges and see what other offerings Carthage might be able to offer that would be attractive to students. And the answer that came out from the researchers was nursing, nursing, nursing. And then way, way below that, you know, were a few other ideas. And so we thought about that long and hard as a kind of officers group and as a board. And it seemed to us that nursing fit the mission of the college just so beautifully, that if you were gonna wade into the kind of professional preparation waters, that it might be the best place to go. And that is Our region is absolutely dying for more nurses. The state of Wisconsin needs 18,000 more nurses right now, today. Nationally, there is an unbelievable need for nurses. Last year, fewer than 50% of the high school students in America who applied for nursing programs got in. So fewer than half of the students in this country who wanted to be nurses were led into a nursing program in college. There's simply not enough.
Wow.
Gateway has something like 1,600 nursing applications a year. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so we thought, you know, this mission for our region, for the state of Wisconsin, and for America is the right thing. It is, after all, a service industry. That's what Carthage says in our mission statement, right? Inspiring service. It makes sense for us. And so we created a, you know, a task force of about 13 members of across the campus, staff, faculty, and we had those long and hard conversations that you're alluding to, in kind of, you know, in behind closed doors in a closed room, and we had some good fights and some good talks. In the end, I think people all felt that it was the right thing to do, that it was something we could do well. We will build an elite program. We have incredible partners in the area for our practical placements for our nurses. We'll keep the program kind of small. And most importantly, every single nurse at Carthage will take the same exact collection of core courses that every other student takes. And so that liberal education core that sits at the heart of who Carthage is still there for the nurses. We believed, and all the people on the panel and the nursing experts we talked to believed, that having a liberally educated nurse was a good thing. That having a nurse who could perhaps speak in a couple languages was a great thing. Having a nurse who knew something about finance and economics and politics and literature and poetry and music was a good thing. And so our nurses wanted to be broadly educated. We had the inability. We could not advertise the program because we weren't approved. Yet for this fall, we have 25 nursing students right now in the freshman class without a single moment of advertising or telling the world that we have nursing. Fantastic students, including about a third of them who are males, which is great. And we have about, we have hundreds of students for next fall already inquiring about nursing. It is going to be kind of a tough program, like it is at Gateway and Parkside. We can only accept, you know, a certain number of students because the education of nurses is 8-to-1 ratio. But it fits our mission. It fits our character. It's great for Wisconsin, to be blunt, to be able to educate great nurses.
For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking with President Gregory Woodward. Dr. Woodward has completed 3 years as president of Carthage. He is in the midst of his fourth year at the helm. And President Woodward, one of the sort of special moments in this past homecoming involved essentially a kickoff of kind of a new phase of a very impressive capital campaign, which is going to mean a lot to the future of the school. So first of all, tell our listeners about kind of the glittering event which occurred on the Friday night of homecoming weekend.
Yeah, we had a really fun dinner. We had a number of donors in the jockey room and probably 500 people there, you know, celebrating Carthage, its history and present, and most importantly, its future. A lot of people that have given a lot of time and energy and frankly, their own resources and money to Carthage. And we had Jeff Hamar, our vice chair of the board, who was a 2-time student government president and owns a big flooring company in California, gave us an inspiring speech. We had a great talk by David Straz, our board chair. I had a little talk. We had 2 students give a conversation about their experiences at Carthage and how much it meant to them. And then we had this premiere of a song sung by a Carthage choral ensemble by this composer named Greg Berg. Oh, it was terrific. It was for Tim Rux, and we celebrated Tim and his family and the talents of our Carthage faculty and students through Greg and his group. It was a great night. We are about $24 million in our pocket, so to speak, towards a campaign. It's not a real big campaign. We started this essentially to finance the science building. And so at $43 million, we were hoping to get gifts of about half of that, 21 or so, from the outside world to make that possible. And along with the Science Center, we also put in a couple of other kind of dreamy wish, you know, hopes for ourselves. One was to increase student scholarships, so one could help the college through donating to the Science Center or through supporting a scholarship for a student. One could also help by just contributing to the Carthage Annual Fund, which is simply our year-to-year, you know, reserves to be able to pull off the kind of education that we offer. You know that on March 17th or so every year, we have Tuition Runout Day. That's the day when students' tuition runs out of paying the bills. So we survive the rest of the year on the grace of our good friends. And then lastly, we added one more kind of initiative to the campaign, and that is this idea about professional preparation that I spoke about earlier. We want to create really strong pathways for more students into internships and experiential learning so that they can step fluidly and easily into a career. Mm-hmm. So those are the four cornerstones of the campaign. We're seeking to reach $35 million in the next 2 years. I think that, like most colleges, we'll work really hard and hope that we get there. And then when we do, we'll take a few deep breaths for a couple of years. And we'll probably go at it again
yeah, right.
next time with a much bigger number. But we hadn't done a campaign in quite a while. And Carthage has given a lot to a lot of people, both alums and to this community. Imagine the amount of money Carthage has put into Kenosha and you know, Kenosha County. It's a lot.
And I know that one of the things that was really gratifying to you when this campaign got started was where it began with the Carthage community itself and the way in which they stepped up, I think, as far as I can tell, really exceeded the expectations that most people had.
Unbelievable. And this might be one of the most inspiring moments and heartwarming moments I've had in my 4 years. And that is, we went out with a goal of $650,000 to be earned from our own staff, our own faculty and staff, and thought that was kind of a push. You always created an aggressive goal. And we looked at the numbers from the past and thought that would be a terrific attainment. It's still, money is still coming in, but even after the first year of that campaign, we topped the $1 million mark for donations from our staff on campus. That is unbelievable. We were 34% higher than what we hoped for. To me, and I think to you, because I can, you know, you're nodding, the affection, love, can we say, you know, that people have who work there for the college is deep and strong. And they proved it in that moment in time. And I'm just thankful, grateful, and really proud of the people of Carthage to step up and support us that way. And it's a lot of money, but more importantly, it's a statement that says, you know, we're here. We're in this for the long haul. We believe in it. We're part of this. Let's go.
I know that one of the discussions about the future of colleges and universities centers around the notion that maybe it is an antiquated idea of having a campus to which people go to learn when, of course, you can access so much of the world without ever even leaving your house. And, you know, so there's some people saying the sweep of history is taking us towards some other kind of model which isn't going to involve campuses at all. And of course, there are plenty of people who say that's really hogwash, or that if that's the way the waters are sweeping, we got to build a dam because something would be irretrievably lost if we didn't deliver higher education in something resembling the way it's delivered now. How do you come up on that? And I'm really genuinely interested to know, because you strike me as one of the most kind of imaginative and visionary people I know. And I'm not just saying that because you're my boss, but I mean, I really do believe that. So I think the perspective of somebody like you is such a rich and varied experience in higher education, yet someone not afraid of new ideas, I would be really curious to know your thoughts on that.
Well, thanks, Greg. I'll get you a raise next week.
Thanks.
When I get back to the office. Better corner office with windows.
Oh, boy.
You know, we all can agree on one thing, and that is that education is the secret to a better future. There is no question about it. The world is not going to be a better place by having less educated people. It's going to be a better place by more education. And so Carthage is in the business of furthering education for people wherever and however we can. And I think all colleges are in the same boat, just like our K-12 systems. Having said that, looking towards education as a huge, huge beacon of hope for the future, I think we're ever anybody can get a chance, have a chance to be educated further, that's a good thing. And so it's one of these situations where for different people, different modalities will work best. If you're a working parent and you've decided you really want to go back and earn a degree to change your life or to do something you've always wanted to do, it's wonderful that there are online resources and weekend courses and certificate programs for you to be able to do that. That's terrific. If you are, let's say, a Carthage student who does a semester in Vienna or takes a trip to Africa or has an internship in the governor's office downtown for a semester, it's nice to be able to take a course or two back at your home campus online. Keep learning, keep growing, get rid of some of your, what a horrible way to put it. Continue to grow, your educational experiences through taking courses that are maybe part of your core requirements. But having said that, for a great number of people, the on-campus face-to-face experience is by far the best way to be involved in this enterprise. We are in the business, after all, of turning 18-year-olds into 22-year-olds. And we know that maybe two-thirds of what happens in a campus experience on a college is in the classroom. The other third, some people would argue more, is simply the fact that they're living on their own, making tough decisions in a somewhat controlled environment. They have roommates. They have choices about work and lifestyle and sleeping and not sleeping and doing their homework or not doing their homework, going to class or not, working for their club, going to their practice. At least a third, right? People in student affairs would say half of the college experience is being there and living it. The research shows that online satisfaction in a course and face-to-face satisfaction in a course are about the same. It also shows that the learning is about the same. The difference is that in the face-to-face environment, for most people who we're dealing with, and certainly people that are in the regular college age, the ability to see the professor, walk up, have a conversation, go to an office hour, work on a project in the lab after class, see them a couple times a week for extra help, that's very, very meaningful and important. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen online, but it's a different interaction, right? And you do that with your friends, and you go back and you talk about it, and you have lunch, then you stay up that night and you study, or you go to a concert. It's different strokes for different folks. I do think that we are in the 18 to 22-year-old business primarily, and that's never going to go away. And that face-to-face model, from Plato on, it's worked, right? I mean, and it's no longer the same as it was, as we talked about earlier. It's not a lecturer standing in front of a class. You are there involved, working hard and being engaged in the subject matter and the research around it. Having said that, again, great opportunities for people to learn in all kinds of ways these days, and learning is still the best thing. Keep learning, keep growing, keep making your life better and the world better. That's key. But there is no question in my mind, absolutely no question, that there will be online opportunities for certain people, there will be blended opportunities for certain people to do a little bit of both, and there will always be the model that Carthage represents fully, and that is the on-campus, fully immersed experience for young people who are finding their ways as young adults, discovering who they are, figuring out who they want to be in all ways, both educational, social, professional, personal. That's not going anywhere, and we do it. Here I go. I'm sorry. We do it as well as anybody on the planet, and I couldn't be more proud of that.
Dr. Gregory Woodward, what a great pleasure to have you back here on The Morning Show, and in all your travels and all that you do, we wish you very, very well, and look forward to you coming back again sometime. And we won't wait a couple of years for that next visit, I promise.
Next time, let's see if we can figure out a way to do some music, you and I.
There we go.
Thanks, Greg. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, a couple of different interviews, including one with best-selling author James Frye, talking about his most recent novel. The Morning Show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. The program is archived on our website, WGTD.org. Click on Talk. Support for WGTD's Morning Show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional Morning Show co-host. Our weather forecast is for partly sunny, breezy, and mild conditions today with a 40% chance of afternoon rain, a high of 73 degrees. Cloudy and breezy tonight with a 60% chance of additional rain, low of 56. Tomorrow, a high of 73 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Sunshine, but cooler temperatures on Thursday. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, L.